Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to be an award-winning comic book author and artist? What's the process? And does he have any advice for young artists? Let's go in-depth with Phil Hester, whose work includes The Hulk, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, and many, many more from North English. Well, Phil, I can't tell you how excited I am to be talking to somebody that draws for Marvel Comics, DC Comics, and I presume other ones. I'm a big comic.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I've worked for pretty much every American comic book publisher at some point.
Every American comic book
publisher. Yeah, I just now I'm taking a job with Archie, which will be my first Archie job. But yeah, pretty much every big publisher in America.
Well, that's really, really neat. And you're from Iowa.
Yes, born here, raised here, make my home here now.
Well, how did you... Well, first, I presume you loved comics, and you loved drawing,
yeah.
And somehow you put it together. How did you do that?
Yeah, I started as a fan, like most people who make comics. You start as a reader of comics. And about age 12 or 13, I sort of noticed that there were credits in comic books that told you who wrote or drew each book. And I started to have my favorites. And I always liked to write my own stories, and I always liked to draw. And it sort of occurred to me that maybe I can be one of those people. And when I was, you know, with comic books, a lot of stories are serialized, so they're to be continued at the end of each issue. And as a kid, there was a certain issue of Iron Man that came out, and I just could not wait for it was a cliffhanger, and I couldn't wait for the ending, so I drew my own. And that sort of kicked off, you know, about age 12 or 13, that sort of kicked off that thought that maybe I could continue that throughout my life. And all the way through high school, I made comics with my friends for myself. And then when I headed off to college, I decided I would start submitting my work to the major publishers. And it's been sort of a steady climb ever since then.
Well, tell people some of the characters that you've drawn that they might recognize.
Right. I'm probably best known for a long run on a character called Green Arrow, who's famous.
On a character called Green Arrow.
Yeah, well, the books.
Everybody knows Green
yeah,
Arrow.
Yeah, Green Arrow. Well, now they do because he's got a show on television now called Arrow. And about, I'd say, 8 or 10 years ago, I was the regular artist on that book for a long while. And during a time, it was sort of a resurgence for that character. Mm-hmm. So we were the number one book at DC Comics for a while with that. I spent a long time drawing a character called Swamp Thing, mm-hmm. which has been in movies and cartoons and such. So people might know about Swamp Thing.
Sure.
I've drawn Batman. I've drawn Spider-Man, the Hulk. I spent time working on the Batman cartoon. So, you know, pretty much I've been doing this for 25 years. So if you can think of a famous superhero or superheroine or villain, I've probably drawn him at least a little bit at some point or another.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with award-winning artist Phil Hester. Well, is it a big fraternity or a big group of people that draws, or is it sort of a smaller group that keeps getting the mm-hmm. doing it over and over?
It's sort of like I equate it to professional sports in that there's a lot of people know about us. I mean, we're not necessarily famous. The books we do can be famous. The characters we create are famous. But there's, you know, just a couple hundred people that sort of keep the industry running as professionals. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, starting for an NBA team to be a regularly employed comic book writer or artist.
Well, what is it that it takes? I mean, you have to be a good artist, but then there's something else to it.
Yeah.
There's a dynamism. There's a different kind of perspective that
right.
you see. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you have to be, first and foremost, a storyteller. That has to be important to you. And your drawing style, whatever it is, it can be delicate or it can be bold, but it has to lend itself towards clear storytelling. because we're trying to communicate as much as possible with every comic book we do. We're trying to communicate the story through pictures as much as or more than with the words. So ideally, somebody who doesn't know English should be able to pick up a comic book, flip through it, and at least get an idea of what's happening in the story. So if you want to make it as an artist in comic books, you really need to be able to think about the story first and apply your artwork to the story before maybe your instinct as an artist is to show off and to show off your skills. That shouldn't be first and foremost in your mind as a comic book artist. The story should be. And that's something that takes a lot of younger artists a while to figure out. But it's, for me, I always loved writing as much as I loved drawing. So to me, the idea of combining art and words to tell stories seemed very natural. So storytelling was always first and foremost in my mind. So it was sort of an easy transition for me. My actual drawing in the business, I guess we call them drawing chops, you know, my actual drawing skills are sort of middle of the road for a comic book artist. But my storytelling skills are pretty high. So that's why I've been sort of continuously employed for, you know, a couple of decades now.
And so do you work with the, I guess you call it the author of the story, the writer? Do you work actively with them to try to come up with the overall story plan, or do they all of a sudden you just get, you know, some word process text in an email?
It varies. I mean, ideally you have a good relationship with a writer and you can go back and forth on ideas and direct. The penciler, which is what I am, I'm the penciler, which is the person who draws the story. They're sort of the director of the film, and the writer is the screenwriter. And, you know, on a film, ideally the director and screenwriter are the same person or get along and can collaborate. It's the same thing with comics. It's one of the most fun and rewarding thing about comics is that you get to collaborate with people. And a good relationship with your writer, your colorist, your letterer, these are all different people in the comic book business. It's important to have a good collaborative relationship with all those folks.
From having read the credits since I was a little kid, I know that somebody letters it.
Yeah.
Why is that? I bet you can letter pretty well.
I can, but I'm not well enough to be a professional comic book letterer. It's due to the assembly line nature of comic books. We have to put a comic book out every month for the well-known characters. You know, Spider-Man has to come out every 30 days. And there's usually 20 pages in a comic book. And if you take the weekends off, that means you have to make a page every day. And penciling a page takes a day in and of itself, not to mention inking the page, lettering the page, coloring the page, and writing the page at the beginning. So when we make a comic book, it is like an assembly line. So for every issue that's on the stands right now, the issue behind it is being lettered. The issue behind that one's being colored, the issue behind that one's being drawn, and the issue behind that one's being written. So the writer's about 6 months ahead of what's on the stands.
Okay, and when you say a page, it's not just necessarily one drawing. It could
be six or eight drawings. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a grind, and that's another thing that sort of separates, I think, a comic book artist from a fine artist in that. We don't get to work when inspiration strikes. We have to, you know, sit down at that table and make a page every day.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with award-winning artist Phil Hester. Do you find yourself going back to the same kinds of concepts and reusing them over and over? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, with the looking at a page, do you tend to put people in the same positions?
I try to avoid that because I want to keep it fresh for myself. And everybody's style, my style, kind of grows organically out of the way you work. And my style's a little more high contrast than other comic book artists. I use a lot of sharp blacks and high contrast whites in my work. And that just grew naturally over the time I worked. And it's not something I consciously tried to do. And that's sort of, you know, as you sort of build your catalog of of books you've done in the past, your style just happens, you know, whether you want it to or not.
You have a new exhibit of your work at Central College at the Mills Gallery. When does it run from?
It runs from today, which is the 23rd, to November 15th.
Okay, so we've got plenty of time to see it. Mm-hmm. And then, so you've got what?
Oh, gosh.
40, 50 pounds?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I just brought a big stack in here, and they put up what they wanted to put up. But it's representative of my career. It's stuff that's about, you know, 15 years old up to today.
Up to today. What are you working on today?
As of this moment, I'm drawing a Superman story for DC Comics. I'm also writing a book called Thunder Agents for a place called IDW. And I write a book called Invincible Universe for Image Comics. So I spend a pretty much an even amount of time writing and drawing.
Well, so, I mean, how do you do that? I can't even imagine doing one of those.
It's my job. So, I mean, writers make substantially less than artists in this business, just because it takes so much longer to draw everything. So if you want to make it as just a writer, you've got to have a couple of assignments.
Okay. Let's look at one of these panels. Let's talk about how you compose this. All right, let me just guess. You're the storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and this character is?
The Hulk. And he's fighting Spider-Man.
All right. The Hulk versus Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. What? All right, now, we've got that. The Hulk is holding up Spider-Man.
Yeah. He's palming his head, basically, like a basketball.
Palming his head. And it's in the aftermath of this mayhem, I guess. This is the aftermath of their fight.
Yes.
All right, you've got onlookers looking, and you've got a wide variety of onlookers, and just buses upside down, mm-hmm. and the classic, I guess it's not Gotham City, but classic
New York City, Marvel. If you saw the Avengers movie and the way New York City was torn up in that movie, it's very similar to that.
Wow, and so you've got the Hulk. Can you describe how you've drawn the Hulk here? I mean, his foot's out.
Yeah,
front.
He's very monstrous. I like a very monstrous Hulk. I mean, when he was originally designed, he was very squat and almost Frankenstein-like when he was designed by Jack Kirby. And I don't want to lose that sort of monstrous aspect to him. So my Hulk is sort of impossibly bulky. And no bodybuilder could ever achieve that that physique. I want him to look as much like a lumbering tank as I do a human being.
Well, in Spider-Man, I guess his hand's bigger than Spider-Man's
hand. Yeah, so it's kind of easy for him to palm. And that's something that the writer was a fellow named Brian Michael Bendis, who writes the Avengers and X-Men for Marvel Comics. And he just wanted the Hulk sort of holding Spider-Man at his mercy, and I thought, well, it would be neat for him to, you know, palm his head like a basketball. So that's an example of that collaboration I was talking to you about. You know, I shot back that idea, and he thought it was cool, and it wound up in the comic book.
Well, and there's a balance to it, like the bus over here balances mm-hmm. against Hulk on the left, the bus upside down on the right.
Right.
And you've got 7 characters, including a policeman, three women, three mm-hmm. men. And some of the characters that you're drawing are very contemporary.
Right.
There's other, like, businessmen that could have been from 40 years ago.
Yeah, we just try to get a nice cross-section of, like, what the passersby in a New York City sidewalk might be.
Well, and they're watching this battle, probably too close. I bet we'd be running.
Yeah, I think normal people would be running. But since it's they're the people that live in the Marvel Universe, they're used to this sort of thing by now.
But it's larger than life, and it's very dynamic. It's almost like it's moving mm-hmm. as we're looking at it.
That's my goal. I think that's one of those sort of unspoken values of being a comic book artist, is your work has to move. Because it's a static image, but these stories are so action-packed that things have to feel like they're moving or at least exploding off the page. And that was my goal with this. Double page. We call this a double page spread because when you open up a comic book page, this is actually, if you'll notice, it's two different pages of a comic book, pages 2 and 3. But if you open up a comic book, you'd see them at the same time.
Okay, and now that I look at it, there's a symmetry on each page that then has to go across both pages. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, the background is shared on both sides. And this is what is called a splash page. You know, there are no panels on it. It's all one image. And the reason there's so much space over here that don't feature major characters is this is where we drop the title in of the issue. And we had word balloons floating here and there. But that's not on the original art. Nowadays, they do all that digitally. I have a few pages here that are old enough to have the balloons actually pasted on them. But now we do it all digitally.
Now, of all of the ones here, all the drawings that we have, what's your favorite and why?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's hard to say. I'm really fond of these Batman pages because they're the newest of my stuff. And I love drawing Batman. My high contrast style lends itself towards sort of angular, semi-creepy characters, and Batman fits the bill there. And this is one of my favorite drawings I've ever done, this portrait of Batman. But just in general, I love drawing Batman because he's sort of a creature of the night, but still a superhero, but a little bit on the weird side. And that's sort of where my natural aesthetic pulls me.
Well, and as Batman at a classic angle, you've got...
His spiky ears.
And he's, you know, looking very rough, and somebody coming in the window behind him. And this is something that's just come out?
It came out in a... we actually have an issue of it here in the gallery if people want to flip through it.
Legends of the Dark Knight. Oh, I see. In the previous panel, he had a fight with this fellow.
Yeah, actually, Batman came in through the window.
And
throwing this guy around. And then this guy is actually set... the next page isn't here. Because I sold it. but this guy's going to escape through this window. He's talking to Batman, trying to distract him while he goes backwards out through the window.
So you're really telling the story. And so it's when you said you have to create a page in a day, for this one you created four panels.
Yeah, four panels, one page, yeah. And sometimes it's, you know, like the last thing we looked at, sometimes it's one panel. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's six or seven.
Wow. And you have to have, you know, great knowledge of anatomy.
That's the number one thing I tell young artists is my BFA is in drawing. And what it takes to get a BFA in drawing, at least at Iowa when I went there, was you did life drawing about 2 hours every day. You drew from a model. And the superheroes we draw don't look like real people. That's not what a real human's physique looks like. But you sort of have to get that vocabulary of anatomy down in your mind from life drawing to be able to exaggerate it the way we do in comics.
Sure, you have to know the difference between a bicep and a tricep
and
a deltoid.
Yep, and you know, even and if you get good at it, you can even make up a few muscles here and there.
All right, so advice to young artists as we close.
Draw every day. That's my advice. Draw every day. Draw things you don't like to draw. That's one of the hardest lessons to get across to people that want to become illustrators, is that everyone wants to draw, you know, a demon-skulled creature on a motorcycle. That's fun. But you need to draw a baby, you know, or you might need to draw a car or a train. And those are things you might not necessarily draw in your own for your own enjoyment. But if you become an illustrator of any kind, comic books, animation, video games, those are all things you're going to have a knowledge of and be comfortable with. So the thing I would tell young artists mostly is draw every day.
Thanks to Phil Hester for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.